1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. My opening serve is Wimbledon tennis. Carlos Alcaraz dethroned Novak Djokovic in an epic five-set match to win his first men's singles title at Wimbledon. It was also the second major title for the 20-year-old Alcaraz, who won last year's U.S. Open. In the process, he denied Djokovic a fifth consecutive Wimbledon crown. The final score from Wimbledon, 1-6, 7-6, 6-1, 3-6, and 6-4. Holding the trophy at center court, Alcaraz said it was an incredible feeling to beat one of the legends in tennis.
Well, it's it's a dream come true for me. As I said before, of course, it's great to win, you know. But even if I would have lost, I would be really proud of myself, you know, in this amazing run, you know, making history in this beautiful tournament, you know, playing a final against a legend of our sports. For me, it's incredible, you know. As I said, it's a dream come true, be able to, play in these stages. It's amazing for a boy, 20 years old. I didn't expect to reach, this kind of situations really fast. I'm really, really proud of my... really proud of myself. I'm really proud of the team that I have, the work we put every day to be able, live this experience.
Carlos Alcaraz also said it was an honor to play in front of royalty at Wimbledon, including Spain's King Felipe.
Well, it's really, really special, you know. It's special to play, in front of royalty, the Prince of Wales, everyone. Philippe, I'm really proud, that you are here supporting me. I played in front of you just twice that I won. I hope you are coming more. It's really, really special, and I have to thank you for coming and supporting.
Meanwhile, the 36-year-old Djokovic was gracious in defeat and praised Alcaraz for his performance.
Not so good for me, but good for Carlos. I have to start, obviously, with praises to Carlos and to his team. Amazing. What a quality in the end of the match. When you had to serve it out, you came up with some big serves and big plays, so you deserve it. Absolutely. Congratulations. Amazing. Amazing. I thought I'll have trouble with you only on clay and maybe hard court, but not on grass. But now... it's a different story from this year, obviously. Congrats, amazing way to adapt to the surface. You played maybe once or twice before this year's Wimbledon on grass, and amazing, just what you did in Queens, and congratulations to your team, Juanqui, everybody. Well done, guys. Enhorabuena. As for me, obviously, you never like to lose matches like this, but I guess when all the emotions are settled, I have to still be very grateful, because I won many, many tight and close matches in the past here, To name a few, you know, 2019 against Roger in that finals where I was match points down. You know, maybe I should have lost a couple of finals that I won. So I think this is even Steven.
In the women's singles final at Wimbledon, Markéta Vondrousova of the Czech Republic defeated Tunisia's Ons Jabeur in straight sets, as we hear now from the AP's Graham Agars.
24-year-old Markéta Vondrousova has become the first unseeded women's champion of Wimbledon. The left-handed Czech ranked 42 in the world, securing a fairy tale win 6-4, 6-4 over the six-seed Ons Jabeur in a 1 hour and 20-minute final. Vondrousova was steady throughout the match, making just 13 unforced errors, and held her nerve when Jabeur quickly went 3-1 up in the second set. From there, the Czech won five of the last six games to secure the most unlikely win. Jabeur, still winless after three Grand Slam finals, made 31 unforced errors and converted just four of her 10 breakpoint chances. I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. Now let's go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where not even a pouring rain could dampen Lionel Messi's Inter-Miami welcome party on Sunday evening. In front of thousands of drenched but loudly cheering fans, Inter-Miami's co-owner, Jorge Mas, introduced the Argentine football superstar.
This is a city that's built on dreams, hard work, sacrifice, and emblazoned in our jersey is a saying that says freedom to dream. And tonight we're doing this Miami style in the rain. This is holy water. I would like to introduce to you your number 10, Inter Miami's number 10, America's number 10, the best number 10 in the world, Lionel Andres Messi!
Messi spoke in Spanish to the fans, saying, and I quote, "I can't wait to start training to compete. I feel the same desire I've always had to compete, to really want to win and to help Miami continue to grow." And Messi continued, "I am very happy to have chosen to come to this city with my family, to have chosen this project, and I have no doubt that we are going to enjoy it very much. We are going to have a good time, and great things are going to happen. Thank you very much. Thank you all for this day." Lionel Messi joins Inter Miami in Major League Soccer after two seasons with Paris Saint-Germain. He capped a great international career last year by leading Argentina to the World Cup trophy, the country's first since 1986. Lionel Messi is expected to have his first training session with Inter Miami on Tuesday.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairu, chief football writer at acsports.com, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This evening, we continue our preview of the ninth FIFA Women's World Cup football tournament. One of the players to watch is Sam Kerr, who will captain co-host Australia at her fourth Women's World Cup.
Yeah, I'm very honored. Anytime you go to a World Cup, whether it's your first or your third or your fourth, it's an amazing feeling, something you can never, ever take for granted, and I never will. But to do it on home soil is, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for not many people. So I'm very, very honoured. And, yeah, every time I talk about it, I get kind of emotional because I'm like, I can't believe we're going to be hosting a Women's World Cup. When I started playing for the Matildas, I could have never dreamt of this, so I'm very honoured, I'm very excited, and just want to get started.
Sam Kerr and the Matildas will get started on July 20th when they host Ireland in Sydney. And here are some fun Women's World Cup facts about Sam Kerr. She comes from a big sporting family. Her father, Roger, and brother, Daniel, both became professional Australian rules football players. Sam's grandfather, Denzel, was a featherweight boxer. And her grandmother, Coral, played competitive basketball. Growing up, Sam says she loved Aussie rules football 100% and hated soccer. Incredibly, only 3 years after taking up soccer, a 15-year-old Kerr made her senior Australia debut against Italy. She is now regarded as one of the best female footballers in the world and one of Australia's greatest athletes. In a FIFA.com video, Sam Kerr says she's been inspired by another great Australian athlete, the 2000 Olympic 400-meter champion, Kathy Freeman.
Kathy Freeman, I think she's the sporting moment that really changed how I thought about sport. Just watching how one person can be so focused and have the weight of the nation on their back, that really appealed to me as a kid. And I feel like we can have a Kathy Freeman moment. Everyone knows where they were when Kathy ran that race, and hopefully everyone knows where we are in 2023 when we walk out.
I asked Washington Post soccer writer Steve Goff for his thoughts on Sam Kerr.
Yeah, dynamic attacker, goal scorer, has played in the NWSL in the United States, is playing in England at a high level. A game changer, you know, a goal scorer, and I think, you know, this is her moment, you know, with the World Cup taking place in Australia. The final will be in Sydney. You know, that's their goal. That's Australia's goal, is to get to the final, or, you know, at least the semifinal. This is a big moment for her. She's been an international superstar on the club level and has performed well for her national team. But this is a home World Cup, and I would anticipate big things from Sam Kerr in this World Cup.
Washington Post soccer writer Steve Goff. Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. The Voice of America's English to Africa service is celebrating its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts about the Sunny Side of Sports. Send a voice message or text to this WhatsApp number, +1-202-258-3076. Recall a favorite memory. That number again, +1-202-258-3076. And thanks for 60 years of support. American boxing great Floyd Mayweather has visited Zimbabwe and South Africa as part of what he describes as his motherland tour. Mayweather traveled to South Africa from Zimbabwe. Arriving in South Africa over the weekend, Mayweather told reporters he hopes to give African fighters more worldwide exposure.
Well, I had a chance to actually watch I think 3 or 4 exhibition bouts the other day. A lot of talent. So hopefully, you know, I can get with my team that's in Africa. We can get together and bring a lot of this talent, to Mayweather Promotion, so we're able to take these fighters all around the world so the world can see their talent, not just in Africa. I always want to inspire my people and push my people, let them know they can be great like myself. I didn't do it by myself. You know, I did it with the push from the fans all around the world, and especially the fans from Africa, and my people from Africa, they push me first, and I love them first. I can't sit and say everything as of right now, but it's all about giving back, and it's about growth. And I want to see more people in South Africa have ownership, have more ownership. We in Johannesburg, you know, it's all about, like myself, I own my career, I own myself, I became my own boss, and even in America, it's about real estate. So I want the people in Africa, you guys have all the resources, you guys have all the land, but we need to get a lot of that land back to the Africans, and you guys need to own yourself.
Now let's go to Harare, where Columbus Mavunga reports on Floyd Mayweather's visit to Zimbabwe.
Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s private jet landed Thursday in Zimbabwe, where he was welcomed and joined in dancing to African drums. The American former champion boxer told waiting reporters he was excited to be in Zimbabwe and back in Africa after his first trip to the continent in Nigeria a year ago.
It's always great to come back to Africa, the motherland, a beautiful place, beautiful people. It's nothing like coming back and seeing my people. They embrace me with open arms.
Like Nigeria, Mayweather's trip to Zimbabwe was billed as promoting the sport of boxing, but his Zimbabwe trip is not without controversy. Mayweather attended a political rally Thursday for the ruling ZANU-PF party, which critics accuse of using authoritarian tactics against opponents and mismanaging the struggling economy. The 46-year-old former boxer is being hosted by Scott Sakupanya, a controversial gold dealer who is running for parliament in next month's elections on the ZANU-PF ticket. Sakupanya in April was named in an Al Jazeera investigative documentary, The Gold Mafia, that exposed a gold smuggling and money laundering ring involving top officials. A convicted gold smuggler in the documentary named Sakupanya as Zimbabwe's biggest gold guy, to which he has not responded. Zimbabwe Central Bank froze the assets of four men named in the documentary, and the government says it is investigating the allegations. Sakupanya welcomed Mayweather to the ZANU-PF rally in Mabvuku, the Harare suburb where he is running for office. Mayweather is happy to be here, he says, and wants to come back again. He told me that people in America do not really know what is happening here, says Sakupanya. He did not even bring his security details because he knows Zimbabwe is a peaceful country. He says this shows that foreigners should not talk about Zimbabwe before they come here. They must leave politics where it's not necessary. Sakupanya gained public attention in 2020 when photos of him surfaced in social media posing with gold bars and millions of dollars in cash. Some social media posts criticized Sakupanya for campaigning with Mayweather, who is also known for flashing wealth when most Zimbabweans are living in poverty. One of the critics is Tendai Biti, vice president of the main opposition party, the Citizens Coalition for Change.
It's obscene, it's immoral, and it shows the wrong priorities of ZANU-PF. I hope the residents of Mabvuku are wise enough and will vote for the right candidate in the plebiscite to be held in August of 2023.
Biti said Mayweather should be ashamed for becoming an implicit part of alleged illicit financial flows. When called by VOA, a designated media team for Mayweather and Sakupanya refused to comment on the issue. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the voice of America's longest-running English-language program. Music Time in Africa was founded by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian back in 1965. So, Music Time was founded just 2 years after the formation of the VOA's English to Africa service. As I mentioned, English to Africa will celebrate its 60th anniversary on August 4th. And reflecting on Leo the Music Man Sarkisian, I have fond memories of seeing Leo charge around our office into his 80s and even early 90s. Just tremendous vim and vigor and energy. Leo would tap you on the shoulder and say, yeah, man, let's go. Let's go. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African sports news, and Samson says he'll be tipping off with African basketball.
In Luanda, Angola, Morocco won the FIBA African 2023 finals after beating Cote d'Ivoire 78-76 in an evenly matched encounter in Luanda. The win sees Morocco improve from their 2019 African campaign when they finished fourth in Bamako for the inaugural edition of the competition. It's Morocco's first continental trophy since winning the 1965 FIBA Afrobasket. Kevin Francesca, Moroccan forward, who also got the Most Valuable Player award, described their victory as well-deserved.
We're extremely proud as Moroccans to be in this stage and be able to finish like this. It was beautiful. Knowing that we had a lack of preparation, we only had 3 days to prepare, but the group came together. Really focused. Everybody was 100% from the first guy to the doctor of the team. And we're just very proud, and it's a beautiful finish.
And out to tennis, where Tunisian Ons Jabeur on Saturday described her third defeat in a Grand Slam final as the most painful of her career, but vowed to bounce back and break her jinx at the majors. The world number six was beaten 6-4, 6-4 by unseeded Markéta Vondrázová of the Czech Republic 1 year after she lost the Wimbledon final to Elena Rybakina. More pain followed at the U.S. Open later in the year, where she was runner-up again, this time to Iga Swiatek. It may be the hardest loss of her career, but the heartbroken Ons is confident these losses will teach her how to one day win these finals.
I cannot force anything right now. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't. Definitely, this match, last year's match, the final of US Open, will teach me how to win these finals, and we'll definitely keep learning, keep being positive. I think that's the thing that will keep me going.
In athletics, world record holder Nigerian Tobias Amusan overcame a slow start to claim victory in the photo finish in the 100 meters hurdles on the Silesia Diamond League in Poland, sprinting to a season's best of 12.34 seconds that equaled the meeting record in Chorzów, Poland. Amusan edged USA's Kendra Harrison, who finished second in a time of 12.35 seconds, while 2019 world champion Nia Ali of the United States finished third in 12.38 seconds. The Commonwealth gold medalist produced a strong finish to win the highly competitive women's 100 meters hurdles ahead of her rivals for next month's World Athletics Championships in Budapest. Another star performer at the Silesia Diamond League is Kenyan Mary Mora, who smashed the 400 meters meeting record on Sunday evening when she ran 1 minute 56.85 seconds. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi guys, I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100 meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Still with African athletics, one of our big recent stories was the Comrades Marathon in South Africa. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen to Myron Nyka's report from Durban.
The energy in the air was palpable as the just over 17,000-strong field lined up in the city of Pietermaritzburg. It was a bitterly cold winter morning, but athletes were ready to bring the heat along the 89-kilometer route down to the coastal city of Durban. In the men's race, Japanese sensation the blue-haired Joe Fukuda took an early lead, but was hunted down by a pack that included Tete Dijana and Dutch novice Piet Visma. With 20 kilometers to go, Dijana broke away, opening up a small gap, but Visma refused to let him out of his sight. In a frantic dash for the finish, Dijana kept looking over his shoulder, but managed to keep his composure to set a new down-run record in a time of 5:13.58. This humble runner, who still works a day job as a private security officer, is now a double champion. He could only celebrate being champion for 9 months after last year's Comrades was pushed to August due to the COVID-19 pandemic. When asked if that motivated him, he offered this light-hearted response.
Yes, because I felt that I was cheated. Remember, everyone was called a champ for 12 months. Myself, I was called champ 9 months. So now, but there's no way I should go and defend my title.
The women's race was won by the darling of South African road running. Gerda Steyn, who won the Two Oceans Marathon in Cape Town earlier this year, was the favorite to win this year's Comrades. She controlled the race from the 30-kilometer mark, breaking free of the lead bunch. She smiled and waved to the crowd as she approached the finish, knowing that a course record was within sight. Steyn raced to the tape, beating Frit van der Merwe's 34-year-old record. In the build-up, Steyn was asked many times about whether she would target the record. She remained modest in all her responses, letting her feet do the talking on race day.
I didn't want to talk too much about the record. I didn't want it to phase me from my main goal of winning the race. You can't think about these times. But of course, I wanted to bring, I wanted to produce the best result that I can produce as an athlete. And that meant today it was the record and it went according to plan. And for that, I'm very, very grateful.
While the elites provided the entertainment up front, there was still plenty of drama to come as the clock edged towards the 12-hour cutoff. Thousands pushed their bodies to the max to reach the finish at the Kingsmead Cricket Stadium. As the gun went up to signal the end, more drama was about to unfold. In true comrade spirit, two complete strangers who came together with 9 kilometers to go raised the roof inside the stadium. Simpiwe Dludla was down, but experienced finisher JP Snyman put his arm around her, dragging her on. The clock ticked, but they persevered. Cheered on by thousands, Dludla crossed the line as the last official finisher on the day, with just seconds before the cutoff gun went off.
My friend JP said I need a shoulder to cry on, so we move up to this farm. So I'm so happy. I didn't know that I would break a record. Of being the last person in Comrade. Thank you so much, my friend. God bless you.
wraps up the July 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.